TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Good evening, folks. Straight Talk by Anthony Gordon once again. WSNR 620 AM in the metro section of New York. WJPR 1640 AM in Highland Park and Edison in New Jersey. So a special guest we have with us on the show this evening. And I was thinking we're a few days before Rosh Hashanah and people are sort of trying to hone in on the last minute inspiration and trying to recalibrate their minds and their outlook for the new year. And I thought an ideal guest would be someone who is not only a friend and someone who understands the auspicious days ahead, but to boot, someone who is one of the most accomplished and most well-versed people that certainly I know, and I think in the Jewish world, if not in the world per se, in a specific art which we'll discuss when we go into the show. But for our purposes for now, let's call it Japanese martial art. And my understanding is a large part of the skill set that he's being trained is not only being a master of one's body, but being a master of one's mind, which I think as we master our mind and to try and control what we think, try and maintain the resolutions we keep, I thought it would be very apropos for the Rosh Hashanah show. So, Michael Steinberg, good evening and welcome to Straight Talk with Anthony Gordon.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
So, we've known each other for a while, Mike, and I remember probably way over a decade ago, the first time we met, one of the people that we were with at the time said, you would never think so because Michael carries himself in a very self-effacing way, but he's someone who spent years and years fine-tuning a tremendous skill set in martial arts. And I have been the live volunteer and victim to corroborate the fact that what was told to me is correct. So for our listeners here on Straight Talk with Anthony Gordon, sponsored by MGO, I think the best thing so that we can put this in context is if you could share a little bit of your background and your journey as to how a nice Jewish boy like you became such an expert in such a highly specialized area.
Wow, thank you so much for that introduction, Anthony.
Sure.
But I want to put key on what you just said about a nice Jewish boy, because I'm going to go with that a little bit. Not meaning my, meaning every nice Jewish boy, and I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
Well, growing up in Borough Park as a nice Jewish boy, I realized I was lacking some self-confidence.
Okay.
And I thought the answer would be take martial art, self-defense, I'd feel better about myself.
That's interesting. Okay.
So I went about that, and I started taking martial arts.
Yep.
And I had some success. I wasn't the best, but I was okay.
Sure.
And after a while, I realized I'm getting good at fighting and defending myself,
right,
but there's really not a lot of fights going on out there. So I'm not feeling better about myself, and this training is basically, I'm not really getting any use out of it. Until I got lucky.
So for our listeners' sake, you obviously developed the discipline, started getting the skills, but it sounds like there weren't too many people in Borough Park getting involved in fist fights about who took whose talus.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So every once in a while I meet someone like yourself and I show some cool moves, but really wasn't making me feel any better about myself.
Got
until
it.
I met a teacher who taught me the mental side.
Wow.
And that literally changed my life. And that I'd like to explain a little bit and exactly
Absolutely.
What I'm doing with that and what that's all about.
Okay.
So it was explained to me this martial art that I was learning originally was taught for fighting purposes, for fighting wars, etc.
Okay.
But they realized that they were in a bad position because they were not as strong as the opposition, the Japanese.
In this context, is the Japanese.
Yes.
Got it.
And they studied the mind, the old samurai.
Okay.
And they took advantage of understanding how the mind works, and with that they had victory.
Interesting.
But once the victory was over, they realized, you know what? Now that we understood how to use it for fighting, how to take advantage of someone's mind and win a fight,
right,
they realized their biggest opponent and enemy is really themselves. And how are they going to use this knowledge to make themselves happy? And they applied these rules, and I'm going to share them with you right now, at least some of them. So going back to what you said before about nice Jewish boys.
Right.
So what we learn is your biggest obstacle and the reason people are not happy is something called the negative ego.
Okay.
Now, when you hear the word ego, you assume ego is someone who shows off and all that. And I agree with you, that's a bad ego, and everyone knows not to have that.
Yep.
But here's the ego that the nice yeshiva boy, including myself, falls into.
Okay.
A negative ego is when you think too much less of yourself. For instance, if you think a little bit less of yourself, let's say -1, -2, -3, -4,
okay,
of thinking less. -1 would represent a good thing. That's humility.
You think
you're a little bit less than you are, and that's great. Once you get to -2, -3, -4, -5, -6, -7, Houston, we have a problem.
Yep.
Now there's a gap to where you are, and even though you're not a show-off ego person, you don't think of yourself as much. That's the root of all problems.
So let me just – it's very interesting, and I'm very pleased and now more than ever that we chose to have you as our guest, because this is absolutely on point for Rosh Hashanah, because as you well know, the internal struggle is often between what we call the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, and the Yetzer – and the Yetzer Hara can manifest in negative self-talk, self-degradation, people beating themselves up. And obviously, that negatively impacts the self-esteem to the point then you become, fertile ground for the Yetzer Hara to convince you that you're never going to make anything of your life.
Absolutely. And also, even thinking is a skill.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute.
Sure.
But if you're thinking less of yourself, so every time, everyone has things that happen to them in their life. Everyone goes through something.
Yep, yep.
And when you look at it through the glasses of a negative ego, it's only going to get worse because you're going to think less and less of yourself.
Yep.
And there's nowhere to go. So what are the answers that sometimes people try? And this is what I strongly disagree with.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll go to a good speech. Take a Tony Robbins or whoever, and they'll say something that's really good, and you'll resonate with it and agree with it, and then you'll come home to your wife, your kids, and the bills, and you're right back where you started from,
yep,
and it has no effect whatsoever.
Yep.
It felt good for a minute, and that's why every day someone needs to hear more, another tape, more
information,
more information, but it's not changing their machinery.
Got
it's not having a lasting effect.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I'm going to be writing a book, How to Do That, where the goal would be, at the end of the day, to think correctly, which is a skill, and therefore you won't have to hear all these true knowledgeable things, but actually make a difference to you.
Got it.
Let me give you an example of what that means. It actually happened to me yesterday.
Sure.
I'm in Los Angeles taking a bus, and the bus driver, she sees me clearly running towards the bus, and there's a red light, and she hasn't pulled out of the spot yet. I get right there, and I knock on the door, and she says no, showing her power that
God,
you can't come on the bus despite the fact she's there. Now, because my numbers are good, and I'll explain that in a minute, where I don't let these things bother me automatically, my subconscious knows this person has. I'm not going to let this person have control of ruining my day. It meant nothing to me.
Whereas,
I did analysis real quick. There'll be another bus. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yep.
I'm not going to let that change my mood.
But would I be correct
That's
in saying?
That's what it means.
Would I be correct in saying that, X amount of years ago, before you trained yourself, you would have gone ballistic?
Especially if I'm trained, I'm a
saying I'll karate your butts.
Yeah, sure.
All that stuff.
Yep.
But that's not the mental side of things. Sure. Once you have your brain is logical.
Yep.
And there's no gap, and you're comfortable who mm-hmm. you are. You're not going to let someone else get you down.
Sure.
And the best part about having having your numbers good and no gap is
I'm good.
I lost my train of thought.
You were saying the best things about having your numbers good.
Because there are times you're human, you're going to lose these numbers, but you'll have the skill to get it right back. You won't need like a Tony Robbins on, sure. You can do it. You'll have the abilities to know what it means to come out of when you're a little bit down, but you have to start with good numbers.
Okay. All right.
And the beginning of that would be taking care of the negative ego and having a healthy way of thinking, which is a skill.
And it sounds like you are pretty confident that most people can learn that skill and empower themselves not to allow other people to control their hearts and minds.
Well, absolutely. In matter of fact, right now I start writing a book. I showed it to some celebrities in California,
mm-hmm.
and we're starting to write a book exactly how to deal with that. And that's the goal of the book, is to make people happy without needing
other people's approval.
Besides not needing other people's approval, not needing a life coach or someone every minute bringing you up.
That's amazing. Because
the second you leave them, it's gone. It's got to be real. It's got to be real changes.
For sure. So I haven't. Firstly, Michael, there's nothing more powerful than giving another person the tools to empower themselves. You know, give them a fishing rod instead of a fish. And as you said, instead of having to keep going back for the affirmations or keep going back for the inspiration, essentially it sounds like what you're doing is you're saying to people, eject your old tape, the old way that your self-talk worked, your old wiring, and we're going to press reboot with a completely recalibrated way of speaking to yourself and therefore being able to see situations completely differently.
Absolutely.
Wow.
The way to get it started is, until the book comes out, is that people should start taking inventory of themselves and see whether they're being too hard on themselves, and give them and manage that gap. You cannot think of yourself as a good for nothing. Like I had someone tell me, you know what, I'm a good for nothing. And then I asked him, you're a good for nothing. Have you ever made anyone laugh, made someone smile? Yeah. So how's that a good for nothing? You made someone happy. So you start using logic on some, like you dare someone to say logically why they feel they're nothing.
Yep.
And they see they can't really do it.
Sure.
They're just going by society standards, what they think you should be happy. But ultimately logic and the gap in the ego will make someone happy.
Well, one of the most prolific authors in the Jewish world is Rabbi Dr. Avraham Tversky. He claims he's 75 plus books. Really, he's written the same book 75 different times, 75 different iterations. And the underlying premise, by his own admission, is all about self-esteem. And he feels very strongly that the core of where most people run into problems is, as you say, having a compromised self-esteem. Which, you know, then results in a number of other problems.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But there is a whole thinking process how to fix it. Just knowing that is not good enough.
For sure.
And I'll give you an example. I think you'll like this example.
Sure.
Let's say you were making baseballs. You had a machine and made baseballs and you stole that for a living.
Yep.
And one day someone told you, you know what, baseballs don't sell. You need to sell Frisbees. That's what's really good right now. So you agree and go, okay, I'm going to sell Frisbees. You go to your machine, you press the button, and you want it to make Frisbees, but baseballs come out. And you're all confused. Well, I got to sell Frisbees.
Yep.
That's the same thing from all these books and all these people who say all the right things. Everyone knows you got to sell Frisbees right now.
Right.
But until you change the machinery, and the machinery represents your mind, that it can produce that, it's really a waste of time. because the machine doesn't know what to do.
I got it. What I like about this approach is that you are helping people not only superficially say, you know, don't worry, you've overcome difficulties before, everything's going to be okay, because that's very, very superficial. But it sounds like what you are helping people do is dig deep and recalibrate certain foundational things of the way they see themselves, the way they see the world. And by so doing, it sounds like it's a deeper and a much more long-lasting approach where a person can, you know, literally change the way they see themselves and therefore the world.
Well, absolutely.
Which is, which obviously makes us very apropos for Rosh Hashanah. Now, here's one thing I want to try and get some clarity on, because I want the listeners to make the connection between, can you help us understand how you went from speaking to and being mentored and trained by clearly someone who sounds like an expert in martial arts, how that was the catalyst for you in focusing on training the mind, controlling the mind, disciplining the mind?
Well, basically, the same way you need to understand how someone's mind works in fighting, and what I'll be a little more, I'll explain that a little better, is that if someone's stronger and faster than you, obviously you need to do something to take advantage of that, because whoever's faster and stronger usually wins.
Yep.
So to keep those rules, what we'll do is just bring the guide less, so whatever we have is enough. So, but that's through deep understanding of the mind, which I would have to actually show, which I think I've showed you.
Sure.
But through learning the mind is how you can do that to yourself as well, and using these principles to make yourself happy by true analysis and not looking at things tainted.
Yep.
through society.
Right.
And once you see things for real, not me telling someone, hey, you can do it. I don't know if someone can do it or not.
Right.
But we have to go through logically when they see what they can and cannot do.
Yeah.
It's got to be backed by logic. That's when the changes start.
Sure.
When it starts making sense to themselves.
So let's try and make this, sort of bring this in a more practical sense, down to earth, if you will, to our listeners who are, days away from one of the most auspicious and holiest days of the year. Everyone wants to be better. Everyone wants to, sort of be in the best frame of mind for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. I don't want to sort of cause you to release too much content of the upcoming book prematurely, but can you give just a couple of tools maybe to the listeners that can be helpful to them in sort of changing, if you will, some of their perspective and their mindset, so that the year ahead they won't keep slipping back into negative thinking or a mindset that, you know, clearly hasn't brought them to where they would like to be in their life?
Okay. So I think it starts with what's been taught to me. You have to be fair to yourself.
That's interesting.
Meaning, let's go through an example. Let's say you did something wrong. We're all human.
Okay.
So how do you deal with that? First of all, you can't tell yourself it's the end of the world, no matter what it is.
Sure.
For many reasons. Number one, it may not be as bad as you even think it is, because we're very hard on ourselves. So step one is to be fair with the analysis. Is it as bad as you say?
Yep.
And even if it is as bad as you say, you have to look at what cards were you dealt in life? Were you born in a broken family? What are you dealing with? Maybe under those circumstances caused you to do it. I'm not saying that's a green light to do whatever you want to do.
Sure.
But when you analyze it, you have to put that into place. And when you decide you're not going to do it again, that's the key. And say, you know what? I was born into a certain situation, caused me to do A, B, and C. You can't live with that guilt.
Right.
You got to say, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yep.
And the reason I did it yesterday is because the cards I was dealt.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it anymore. And don't be hard on yourself. And even if it is your fault, and you did something horrible. So I'll tell people, what did you do? Did you kill puppies? and if you didn't, you know, that's a step. And even if you did kill puppies. Yeah, but if you realize now that's a bad thing and stop, you don't have to live with the guilt. Sure. You know, our religion's very much built on guilt, guilt, guilt. It's really unhealthy feeling so guilty.
Sure.
You can feel bad for what you did and make changes, but then you got to let the guilt go. You can't carry it with you. It'll kill you.
No, for sure. It's one of the holiest people that I've met in my life who had unfortunately in South Africa, a very tragic incident that occurred in his family. And eventually he went to, one of the greatest Torah sages of our generation, who said to him, and I'm paraphrasing, but the essence is, if you don't bury the past will bury you. And it's really the same concept that we all make mistakes, we're all fallible. And if you allow the burdens or the self-flagellations of beating yourself up to continue with you, then you're carrying a burden that certainly won't enable you to have the energy and the focus that you need to do the tshuva and to have a successful life.
See, I think what you just said, everyone will agree with it. But what makes it challenging to do, and the answer to, is the way to get rid of it is through a fair analysis. You can't just do it and say, you know what, I'm going to just let the past go.
Yeah.
You have to analyze it fairly. Like I said before, go through it. What caused you to do it?
Yeah.
You know, you got to be fair in the analysis, and you got to see, is it really as bad as you're saying?
Right.
You know, you really need to analyze it fairly. And from there, you'll see most of the time it's not even as bad as you're saying.
For sure. I mean, and again, as we alluded to earlier, there's certainly an iteration of the Yetzer Hara being, you know, a permutation, if you will, of the Malach HaMavis, which at the end of the day is out to derail or kill all of us in one in one way or another, and certainly by making a person feel absolutely rotten about themselves, the Yetzer Hara can cause a person to, live a life of emotional paralysis, and there's nothing more of a tragedy than a person who has so much to give the world, but is sort of hamstrung by their own self sabotaging, by the wrong self talk, if you will.
Right, especially if it's not justified.
Yeah.
You know, you need to challenge, when you're feeling down at something, you gotta really analyze it fairly.
For sure. So one of the things that I ask every single guest who is on Straight Talk with Anthony Gordon, I think it causes the guests to dig deep, and I think it's also, causes the listeners to give them food for thought. And that's as follows. If money wasn't an obstacle, genie comes out of the bottle, and whatever money you need, Michael, shall be my command. If money wasn't an obstacle, where would you like to see yourself 5-10 years from now, using this unique insight that you've garnered over the years to help yourself, to help your family, to help the Jewish people?
Well, I'm gonna have to answer that this way. You see, I'm glad you brought up money. Money is something called external.
Yeah.
Anytime something's hurting you inside, that's called internal.
Mm-hmm.
You can never fix an external with internal anyway.
Sure.
So there are people who think, I'm really sad, and then they do make money and they buy a car. And, well, I'm still sad. They buy a second car. They're still sad. And then they buy a boat. And it just gets worse and worse because it's not working.
Sure.
In order to be happy, money will not help it because it's external.
Sure.
I'm going to say something really deep now that I'm going to give a chance on here, is that even if it's not money, but if it's external, it's external. Let me give you the following example.
Okay.
Let's say, God forbid, a close relative of somebody died from a certain illness.
Okay.
And they're in so much pain that they donate hospitals that deal with this so they can deal with their pain. It's a beautiful thing, but why they do it is very important for their own health. If they did this just to make themselves feel better,
yep,
it won't work. It's still an external, even though it's a nice external. But if they give it because, you know what, I just want to give hospitals, that's internal, and they'll start feeling better, and that will create themselves feeling better from whatever they're going through in life. See, anything you do internal makes you feel better.
Yep.
But if it's external, even if it's a good thing, it won't work. So whether it's money or doing anything externally.
Well, again, what you're saying from a Torah perspective clearly resonates. I mean, we all know the cliched Sheva Brochas shmuz that we all hear, that the shoresh of Ahava Heves means to give, and love is not an emotion, but rather a byproduct of giving. And the more one gives, and the more selfless one is, the more one has this sense, this sipuk, and the sense of peace, and the sense of internal tranquility. It's not because someone has just been on the biggest roller coaster in the world. It's not because someone has just got a raise in salary. The more God-like we are, and because Hashem by definition is a giver, the more we emulate God and become a giver, which is an external thing and it's not directed to anything, as you said, materialistic, the more obviously one feels that we're flexing the esteem muscles, and one feels better about oneself, and just generally has a more positive self-esteem.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why when you asked me that question about money, if there's a gap in where you are, whether you think yourself is less or more, there's no money in the world that's going to make you happy. Once you accept where you are,
yep,
that automatically makes you happy. You don't have to put on a show and make believe something you're not. There's no pressure of it. Once you can accept who you are and no gap, either way, not less, not more, you won't need money to be happy. You don't need money to pay your bills, so you got to go work and pay your bills because that's normal. But that's not – money cannot make one happy. And God made it very easy to be happy. Just don't have a gap, and that'll make you happy. Just knowing who you are makes you happy. It's that simple.
No, I got it. So I want to – one of the realities of radio is we come to the end of the hour. We have to pay the rent. So I'm thrilled that we chose to have you on, so a few days before Rosh Hashanah. I think that some of the ideas that you've shared and imparted, it will clearly be food for thought as people prepare for the Yom HaDin. I want to wish thank you, Michael, for your time, and want to wish all our listeners Gemach Smetova, a year filled with Simcha, with Bracha. And I think if we can take heed of some of the lessons and ideas that Michael Steinberg, our special guest this evening, shared with us, that at the end of the day, happiness is not in a certain state on the North Coast, a certain state in the East Coast, that happiness is in the state of mind. And I want to thank you for your time, Michael. Shana Tova to you. And until next week, this is Anthony Gordon with Straight Talk with Anthony Gordon.
Thank you so much, and I wish you all happiness for this year.
Fantastic, Mark. Thank you.
ShopRite or McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn, Avenue Y is the place to go for your shopping needs and Yom Tov favorites. Your price plus cart saves you money every day all year long. ShopRite or McDonald Avenue is open 24 hours a day for your convenience. A Shana Tova Umatuka, a happy and healthy sweet new year from ShopRite or McDonald Avenue and Avenue Y in Brooklyn.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.